KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in San Carlos.
Berkeley.
Potrero Hill.
Bernal Heights.
Sharp Park.
Park Pacifica.
Vivo in Union City.
Coming up, what can we expect from the upcoming free speech rallies in Berkeley and San Francisco?
All off time has been canceled, so every officer will be on the streets.
A conversation with our justice correspondent. Then a high school reporter heads to Japantown for the San Francisco Anime and Cosplay Festival.
I cosplay purely just because I like the act of making things and being able to wear it and say that I made it.
And we'll learn the story behind this week's audiograph mystery sound.
Out of this one bird became 3 birds, and then 10 birds, and then 100 birds.
That's all coming up today on Cross Currents. Stick around. We'll start off with KALW News Director Ben Trefney to update us on what's going on today. Hey, Ben.
Hannah, the state Supreme Court today agreed that a voter-approved measure to speed up the death penalty should go forward. So this is about Prop 66, which was a push to mend, not end, capital punishment in California. If you'll remember, that measure was approved by more than half the voters, and it defeated a competing initiative on the ballot last November that would have abolished the death penalty. So let me give you a little background. Right now, Hannah, the death penalty exists in California, but it basically isn't happening. Condemned inmates live in prison for decades, and they're more likely to die of natural causes than from lethal injection. That's because of lengthy appeals and also concern over whether the death drugs officials use are efficient or cause too much suffering. There are actually nearly 750 inmates on death row. That's right up there at San Quentin State Prison in Marin County. But out of those more than 700, only 13 have been executed since 1978. The last one was back in 2006. So back to today's ruling, Hana. The state Supreme Court called on courts to expedite their review of capital cases, and they agree that courts should appoint attorneys as soon as possible after conviction. They should grant extensions only for extraordinary reasons, and courts should limit the possibility of successive appeals. But they also said something that caused some pause for supporters of Prop 66. The justices rejected arguments that a provision to set a 5-year limit on appeals was mandatory. Writing for the majority about that, Associate Justice Carol Corrigan said, quote, "Courts must make individualized decisions based on the circumstances of each case," end quote. So with that timeline provision limited, it's not clear whether the measure will actually succeed in moving death sentences forward in California.
Thanks, Ben. That's KALW's News Director, Ben Trefney. Officials and counter-protesters in Berkeley and San Francisco are bracing themselves for free speech rallies planned this weekend. The recent violence in Charlottesville, Virginia, has heightened concern that these events will attract people looking to incite violence. KALW's justice reporter Holly J. McDee joins me now in studio. So, Holly, what should we expect?
So this weekend, there are 2 free speech rallies in what the organizers are calling Liberty Weekend. So the first rally is on Saturday. It's in San Francisco's Crissy Field, and it's the Patriots Prayer Rally. The next rally, the following day, on Sunday in Berkeley, is the No Marxism in America Rally, which will be held at Martin Luther King Jr. Civic Center Park.
Okay, so who is organizing these events, and what are they rallying for?
So the Patriots Prayer Rally is being organized by Joey Gibson, and he's billing this as a free speech rally. Joey Gibson is a passionate Donald Trump supporter. He's a libertarian and a Japanese American, and he wants to make it clear that he is against racism and violence, and he doesn't want anything to do with the white supremacist hate that boiled over in Charlottesville a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he says that he wants to avoid a repeat of that violence, and that's why he's invited a group called the Oath Keepers to provide security. The Oath Keepers are a conservative group of ex-military and ex-law enforcement types with a reputation for violence. The Southern Poverty Law Center, a think tank that tracks hate groups, say the group specializes in holding rallies that provoke the far left and anarchist groups.
Okay, so that takes us to Berkeley the next day, then Say No to Marxism. Marxism. What's going to happen there?
So the Say No to Marxism rally is organized by Amber Cummings, who's known as Based Tranny by her supporters. She considers herself to be a transgender Berkeley patriot. She thinks that Marxism and anti-American ideas are being taught at UC Berkeley, and she says she doesn't feel safe walking down the road with an American flag. And she also says that her rally is not a right-wing rally.
Hmm. So what are public officials saying about both of these rallies?
Well, public officials like San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee, Senator Dianne Feinstein, and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi have said that the Patriots' Prayer rally will attract white supremacists and other hate groups. Berkeley Mayor Jesse Aragin says the white nationalists are going to use the Say No to Marxism rally to spread their views and incite violence. It's being called the Battle for Berkeley 3, following the protests back in March and April, where right-wing groups and black mass counter-protesters clashed.
So are police gearing up for violence once again?
Well, we know that in San Francisco, all off time has been canceled, so every officer will be on the streets. Mm-hmm. The idea seems to be that with enough officers, both sides can be kept away from one another. And that's the goal in Berkeley as well as in San Francisco. In Berkeley in particular, police have been criticized in the past for not doing enough to head off violence. In San Francisco, the Chrissy Field rally is actually in the National Parks Police jurisdiction, who right. just issued a permit yesterday. But they have a key restriction for issuing the permit, which is that no firearms or anything that can be used as a weapon will be allowed in the park. And that includes guns, large backpacks, helmets. It even includes selfie sticks.
Uh-huh.
And in anticipation of the rally on Sunday in Berkeley, the city council has passed a measure that allows the city manager to impose temporary rules around Civic Center Park. That means police could confiscate weapons and set up fences on public sidewalks for crowd control. It is controversial because some say that these new rules could be used against free speech and misused in the future because it does give sweeping powers to the city manager.
Okay, so there will be counter-protesters. What are they planning?
There will be lots of counter-protests. Law enforcement is anticipating way more counter-protesters than right-wingers actually participating in the rallies. Think of Boston, where white nationalists were drowned out by tens of thousands of counter-protesters. Mm-hmm. So in San Francisco and Berkeley, there's going to be anti-white nationalist rallies, anti-racist marches. In San Francisco specifically, there's going to be a love rally. There's going to be comedy and music. There's even going to be a dance-off.
So how could what happens this weekend impact the national conversation around free speech and public safety? Like, what can be expected next?
Well, all eyes are going to be on Berkeley and San Francisco this weekend. And regardless of how it plays out, President Donald Trump will be paying attention. And he had previously tweeted in response to protests that had turned violent in Berkeley, threatening to take away UC Berkeley's federal funds. Now the situation is somewhat different. Donald Trump has faced criticism recently for putting the blame on both sides following violence in Charlottesville. So it will be interesting to see how he does react to whatever takes place over the weekend. And this also is not going to be the last free speech rally in the Bay Area. There's an event with conservative commentator Ben Shapiro at Berkeley in September. So the spotlight will be on the Bay Area for weeks to come as we continue to grapple with the debate over free speech and public safety.
Holly J. McDeed is KALW's justice reporter. If you've got a question or comment for her, you can find her at justice@kalw.org. And you should know that portions of San Francisco's Presidio along several roads and businesses near Chrissy Field will be closed on Saturday because of the demonstration. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Now we'll turn to a group of people who are gathering for different reasons, much different. Cosplaying has become an important part of comic, anime, and video game culture. It's when a fan dresses up as a fictional character. Last year, there were more than a dozen conventions around the Bay Area, from Los Altos all the way to Antioch, where cosplayers could show off their homemade costumes. For the fans who love these characters, conventions are ways to make friends, show off their sewing skills, and become the characters they love. Ellie Herbert was part of KALW's high school internship program this summer. She's a cosplayer herself, and she brings up this story about getting ready for and attending the San Francisco Anime and Cosplay Festival.
I'm at Joanne's Fabrics in Colma looking for fabric and materials with my friend Casey.
Do you have yellow for the...
We're searching for the right materials to use to make our costumes. I'm a cosplayer. That means I dress up on more days than just Halloween. Typically, we choose a character from a video game or show we like. I really enjoy becoming someone that isn't myself, usually a character from a series that I have an emotional connection to. Back at home, Casey and I just finished cutting out the pieces of fabric, and now we're working on sewing those pieces together. We're smoothing out the fabric and making sure we don't accidentally sew folds or wrinkles into the shirt. Most people mistakenly think cosplay as being something that started up in Japan. It's a combination of the words costume and play. Cosplaying started here in America and then slowly spread. The first cosplay was back in 1939 at a sci-fi convention in New York. It was a couple who dressed up as characters from the sci-fi film Things to Come that was written by H.G. Wells.
We live in interesting, exciting, and anxious times.
People have enjoyed dressing up as their favorite characters for a long time. I spoke with Kiba Shiruba, who has been cosplaying since 2011. Cosplay has benefited them in multiple ways, teaching them new skills and also boosting their self-esteem.
Body image has been something I got out of it. Like, I used to hate the way that I looked, but through cosplay, I learned to love certain parts of me. Like, for example, I didn't like the way my eyelids worked because it made doing makeup really difficult, but it forced me to, like, learn how to do my own makeup and like master my own face basically. And like I'm more willing to like bear more skin when I'm dressed in cosplay than versus when I'm not. Like I've cosplayed Black Rock Shooter and that's basically wearing nothing. So.
Kiba will be cosplaying as Mila Babichevwa from the anime Yuri on Ice. But cosplaying doesn't just allow people to get comfortable with their looks.
I cosplay purely just because I like the act of making things and being able to wear it and say that I made it and being able to like show off my craftsmanship to other people and just getting to know other people who are also really good at making things.
A lot of the time, cosplayers gain exposure through the help of photography. Without these photographers, cosplay wouldn't have spread. Carl Valencia is one of the amateur photographers in the cosplay community.
When it comes to cosplay photography, it was mostly a friends thing. It was a great way to meet a lot of people. Photography itself is kind of a neat art form.
There are many photographers, each one having a different type of style. Some specialize in storytelling, while others are better at portraits. Many of the pictures take place around the time of anime events or conventions. There are conventions like Fanime, Sac Anime, KrakenCon, HydraCon, and Anime Destiny. These events are bigger and last for multiple days compared to the smaller ones such as the San Francisco Anime and Cosplay Festival. That's the event Kiba, Casey, and I are preparing for. This cosplay festival takes place in San Francisco's Japantown every year. Yoko Hiji is the executive producer of the event, and she's also a cosplayer, but she's been too busy to make the costumes herself.
I used to make my own costume, but now I buy them.
This event was started when Japantown was looking for a new way to bring younger people into the neighborhood. But cosplaying here in America is different than cosplaying in Japan. Hiji says that the cosplayers here are more open about it.
I think America or United States is very accepting of cosplays and costumes. I think it's probably because of Halloween. Many cosplayers actually cosplay from home to the venue. So you get to see cosplayers at the intersection, cosplayers driving, cosplayers at the stores and restaurants and stuff. But in Japan, cosplay, the hobby of cosplay is something that's should be kind of like secretive. So the conventions and events usually have dressing rooms and then dressing areas available.
Even though she puts on the event, she doesn't have as much cosplay experience as the cosplay senpais. Cosplay senpais are cosplayers that have many years of experience.
I don't have as long history as a lot of the cosplay senpais because most of the cosplay senpais we have more than 10 years of experience. I don't think I hit 10 years.
It's the day of the event, and I'm excited to finally see my cosplay friends I haven't seen in months. As usual, it's crowded, and cosplayers are all over Japantown. I'll be meeting the two cosplay guests of honor, Reika and Sharu. I'm super nervous to see them face to face. I've been looking up to them since I started cosplaying, always striving to reach the skill level that they're at.
Konnichiwa, Nihon no cosplayer no Reika desu. Osaka kara konkai kosashite itadakimashita. San Francisco no kono konvenshon wa 3 kai me desu.
Hai, Nihon kara kimashita cosplayer no Chelu desu. Watashi wa San Francisco no ibento ni kuru no wa hajimete desu. Yoroshiku onegaishimasu.
They both introduced themselves, and Yokohiji is translating for me. Reika is a cosplayer from Osaka. It'll be her third time coming to this event. This will be Sharu's first time coming here.
What do you really enjoy about cosplay?
Cosplay で一番楽しいことは何ですか？
私は同じ作品が好きな友達とこう集まって。
They both enjoy cosplay for their own reasons. For Reika, she enjoys shopping for fabric the most. While Sharu enjoys being able to get together with friends that have the same interests and being able to do photo shoots with them. After I say my goodbyes and thanks to Reika and Sharu, I start walking around the festival. I see so many cosplayers, all with their own style. Some people have casual outfits on, while others have full-blown cosplays. There's a stage show going on that features cosplayers.
Hey, how many Final Fantasy fans do we have in the audience? You guys recognize who this character is?
Everyone looks really good. All the cosplayers' costumes look very clean and appealing to the eye. There's a character from the anime Steins Gate. He's wearing a pink maid dress and has a pink twin tail wig. The festival comes to an end, and people slowly make their way out of Japantown, leaving the once crowded plaza left with only a few people. But at the end of the day, cosplayers take off their wigs, their makeup, and their costumes, and then it's back to the workshop to begin working on their next cosplay. For KLW, I'm Aloisa Herbert.
Ellie Herbert was part of KLW's high school internship program this summer. She's a student at Philip and Sala Burton High School in the San Francisco Unified School District. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. And now it's time for Audiograph, the Bay Area's sonic signature. Here's KLW's Nina Gensler-Debs.
All week long, we've been playing you this sound.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. The cages themselves, they all have a name according to castles around the world.
Out of this one bird became 3 birds, and then 10 birds, and then 100 birds. And last year on Christmas, we had 150 birds.
I think you recognize that. To tell you more, we sent KALW's Ariel Plotnick to South San Francisco.
Birgit Soika stands in a large warehouse amongst 68 bird cages, each with a bird inside. The walls are covered in photos of brightly colored parrots, and bird-shaped tchotchkes dot the room. Birgit is cradling Boogie, a Congo African gray.
Hi, Boogie.
He's a regular guest at the San Francisco Bird Hotel, a spa and resort for birds.
Hi, Boogie.
As the owner of the San Francisco Bird Hotel, Birgit takes care of Boogie and up to 150 other birds at a time. Her bird boarding business started back in 2006 when Birgit agreed to bird sit a friend's pet.
You know, it started with one bird in my kitchen. or not even, you know, in my living room. And that was the bird hotel at one point. So I was still working full time. And out of this one bird became 3 birds, and then 10 birds, and then 100 birds.
In 2014, her small business turned into a full-blown bird spa and resort. What does it mean to be a bird resort? Well, for one thing, Birgit offers her guests premium lodging.
The cages themselves, they all have a name according to castles around the world. Well, here we have, for example, the Charlottenburg Palace, which is in Germany. And here we have Hearst Castle.
There's salon services. Murphy, an umbrella cockatoo, recently had the white feathers on his head temporarily dyed a jaunty shade of blue.
The animals enjoy it. There are some birds. They don't want to go home anymore.
She even hosts bird parties, where all the birds are let out of their cage to dance to music. Birgit turns on the radio, and the birds cock their heads, ruffle their feathers, and start to bop up and down to the rhythm in unison. At today's bird party, I meet Triton, a sulfur-crested cockatoo.
Okay. Are you a big bird? Are you a bird?
As you can hear, these birds are loud. The noise can be deafening and relentless. So I see you're wearing earplugs. Is that because the birds can be really, really loud?
I spend so much time here, especially with the cockatoos. They have, their frequencies are so high that it sometimes hurts a human.
So when you hear all day long, it's better if you when you protect your hearing, because otherwise, who knows? I'm already crazy enough, I guess.
Bird owner Haig Movsesian owns Angel, a white cockatiel. He says he can tell that Angel likes it here at the Bird Hotel.
I know when she's happy. I know when she's, like, thinking. Yeah.
By the noises that she makes?
I didn't hear you.
By the noises that she makes?
Yeah, the noises and the way she looks at you.
So what type of noise does she make when she's happy?
She makes a little coo, like a little coo. Something like that.
Birgit is really affectionate with her guests. She often walks around with the birds on her shoulder, kissing their beaks and letting them crawl all over her parrot-themed graphic t-shirt.
I admire them for their wings, for their brains, for their intelligence, the colors. The wings is probably the most intriguing thing because they have this freedom I always was looking for and craving for. And I think I can identify with a bird quite well.
Birgit gets as close as she can to flying with her other passion, competitive motorcycle racing.
When you're on a motorcycle, you have that freedom. You have the speed. You have the wind. You can think, you know, you are alone. And I think that's exactly what the parallel is with the birds. You know, you have wings.
Starting the Bird Hotel was a way to spread her wings. Birgit quit her corporate job to do what she loves. But as every entrepreneur knows, running your own business is hard. And Birgit realizes that maybe the Bird Hotel has actually kept her wings clipped.
And people don't realize that. And that's something I have actually sacrificed over the Bird Hotel, my freedom. There is an irony to this whole thing, right? Because I do actually admire them for their freedom, yet we are all stuck.
Birgit takes me to a back room in the warehouse to show me her motorcycle, a BMW F800. She revs the bike.
Once I do have the time, I need around 3 months, I would like to ride up to Alaska and back. That's the plan, and we'll see if it comes. You know, at one point I can do it, but right now certainly not, because I'm still with the birds. And everything is for the birds.
But as much energy and affection as she devotes to the birds, it's clear she gets that right back. In a moment of downtime, Birgit walks over to Basil, a yellow-colored macaw. Her eyes light up as she opens Basil's cage and strokes his wings.
Hi, Basil.
Hi, Basil.
You can say your name. Hi, Basil.
Very good.
In South San Francisco, I'm Arielle Plotnick for Cross Currents.
Thanks, Arielle. Our winner this week was Lisa Kruglick. Congratulations, Lisa. We are going to send you a KALW t-shirt. Have you got a suggestion of a Bay Area local spot that would make a good audiograph? Tell us. Shoot us an email at news@kalw.org. We love hearing from you.
Yes, we do. Thanks, Nina. And that's it for today's show. Our team includes Anjali Bhatt, Janae Darden, Gabriel Greshler, Gabe Graben, Stephen Short, and Andrew Stelzer. Our line producer is Hannah Kingsley Ma. Our engineer is James Rollins. The managing editor is Jen Chien. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. It is Throwback Thursday when we go back to the summer of love in 1967. Today's music is by the Sons of Champlin, members of the vibrant music scene in Marin County. They bring a fuller sound to their music than some of the current guitar bands by adding horns and a Hammond B3 organ. The Sons of Champlin performed regularly at the Avalon Ballroom and the Fillmore West. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.
Wasn't long ago. Everybody's asking to sit and see the show. You can do anything. You can.